Hello, you're listening to the Talking Spirit Anime Cast. My name's Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo!
Today's episode is our fall 2020 anime season preview. It's already that time to dig into what's coming up in the next season, because everything's pretty much hitting the 10 or 11 episode mark, so we're pretty much there. It's the usual time, so thought we'd get everything together, let you guys know what's coming out. Usually kind of run through each of the titles, what the possibly the English title may be. That's always subject to change. And as usual, everything that possibly could come out is subject to change as well. Because especially this year, everything is pretty much up in the air if it will actually air. Because I just found out literally that the time that I was putting together the outline initially, because I always kind of put everything into an outline, and then another day I'll kind of spend time going through and figuring out who's working on it. That first that first day when I was putting the outline together, which I think was like Monday or Tuesday, they announced that the 2-year Eternity was being delayed until next year. So that's one already.
There you go.
That's one already that's kind of being delayed. But yeah, it's actually a very packed season. Lots of stuff. And again, there's the hope that it actually does come out. As usual, we kind of, you know, want the animators and stuff to, you know, use their own discretion if they have safety issues there. We don't want them to animate the stuff if they're going to be endangered. That's, of course, not something we want to do. But, yeah, a lot of stuff to go through. So, it's exciting. And a lot of stuff coming back. So, a lot of new returning shows. One of which I am currently trying to get caught up on just so that I can watch it with Chris. But we'll see if Andrew can struggle through that last core. we'll get into that eventually. But, yeah, we're from the otakuspirit.com website. You can go there for all of our anime, new and old. Great community forum links at the top. Social media links on the right side. And all that good stuff. And if you're new here, every year we kind of go through the preview of the upcoming season, do first impressions, and then do full reviews of most every show. So definitely check us out there and subscribe to us if you can. So you ready?
Let's do it.
You ready? Are you sure?
Well, not on this one.
We can just do it next week.
I could do without this.
You just want to do the preview next week?
No, we can do the... I just don't really want to watch this show.
Oh.
And I've seen this finger 1.5 million times.
Just playing on loop. The first trailer playing on loop is finger rotating on the screen. But it's MAPPA. It's a very MAPPA finger.
I guess.
A very MAPPA finger. yeah, the first one is Jujutsu Kaisen. Before I forgot to mention that we will go through all the... What I fully know as being completely new shows. Now, there are some shows that are being readapted, which we'll get into with the next one, Higurashi. But shows that don't have a prequel to it, we'll go through those first. Like I said, go through the name, synopsis, studio, special people that are working on it, and then possibly some thoughts on the trailer if I'm able to look at it long enough, and Chris can give his thoughts, definitely. And then we'll go through all the shows that are returning. Then we'll go through the shorts, which is only two of them, I believe. And then we'll kind of give our thoughts on some ONAs and movies that are possibly, that are technically coming out in Japan that we can look forward to. And then possibly our gem picks. We always like to do our gem picks.
Well, we probably should get a paper, huh?
Sure. Yeah, our first one is Jujutsu Kaisen or Sorcery Fight. This one, the synopsis is a boy fights for the right death. Death. Hardship, regret, shame, the negative feelings that humans feel becomes curses that lurk in everyday lives. They actually have curses capitalized, so I'm certain they're probably going to specifically call them curses. The curses run rampant throughout the world, capable of leading people to terrible misfortune and even death. What's more, the curses can only be exercised by another curse. Itadori Yuji is a boy with tremendous physical strength, though he lives a completely ordinary life. Why do we have to say that? It's never ordinary. You're in an anime. You cannot be ordinary. If you're writing a synopsis, you cannot put the word ordinary. One day, to save a friend who has been attacked by curses, he eats the finger. The finger. There it is.
What would possess him to eat it?
Because it's going to make him strong, probably. Eats the finger of
somebody has to tell him he needs to eat the finger to do this. He doesn't randomly decide, hey, I'm going to eat the finger.
It's because it's the double-faced specter finger.
Yeah, but the double face specter we assume is appearing before he eats the finger?
Probably.
Or is he eating the finger and then the double face specter?
They're probably going to explain it in a minute. He eats the finger, taking the curse into his own soul. From then on, he shares one body with the double face specter. There you go. It explains it, Chris, if you'd only waited.
But it didn't say that the double-faced specter shows up before he eats the finger.
That's true. Okay. Guided by the most powerful of sorcerers, Gojo Satoru, Itadori is admitted into the Tokyo Metropolis Technical High... They had to go to school. Obviously, you have
He's
to go to
school. He's got a magical school. There you go.
You got curses happening. People are being attacked. You're eating fingers. And, of course, you go to school because anime school have to be in school. The School of Sorcery, and an organization that fights curses. And thus begins the heroic tale of a boy who became a curse to exercise a curse, a life from which he could never turn back. And crazy, psychotic, derpy faces. Is that him? Does he get turn all weird looking at the end there?
I don't know.
Or is that a bad guy?
It just looks like a bunch of crazy
it's
stuff.
All like, eh. Yeah. Yeah, it looks pretty weird. It's a pretty weird looking face. No, I think that's his. That's probably his friend. I mean, it might be a bad guy. We'll see. Studio is MAPPA, like we mentioned earlier, which MAPPA did Terran Resonance, Kakagurui, Rage of Bahamut, Dorohedoro, and Zombieland Saga, amongst many other really good titles. The genres are action, horror, supernatural. The source is a manga. The director is Seung-Hoo Park, who did The God of High School here this season. The source, series composition by Hiroshi Seko, who did Ajin, Seraph the End, and Vinland Saga. And this is already picked up by Crunchyroll, so it's part of their Crunchyroll collection. So check that on Crunchyroll when the season comes up. I'm sure it will be there, unless they decide to license it and then give it to somebody else, which is completely possible. So yeah, you're turned away by this because of the finger?
No, it not just looks crazy, psycho, and pretty much nothing that I'm really highly interested in right now.
Yeah, I think the problem with the Crunchyroll collection stuff is anything that's already labeled as Crunchyroll is just going to be a bunch of action stuff. So that's what you're looking for. I don't know why Crunchyroll doesn't want to branch out from action shows. It seems like everything they pick up is going to be action related. So obviously they think that there's some kind of worth in it, so they're snagging it up. So but yeah, I'm not extremely into this one, but I'd definitely be checking it out. But yeah, we'll see how it turns out. They're really known for their action, so MAPPA I'm sure will do a great job of a action series. So that has my hopes for sure. So we'll see. Jujutsu Kaisen or Sorcery Fight. Check that out if you're looking for a demon, or not demon, I guess, curse fighting sorcery magical show next season.
Now in the Funimation collection?
Now part of the Funimation. I don't think it's Funimation related, just Funimation licensed it. Higurashi no Naku Nikoro ni 2020 version, or Higurashi When They Cry, or as I like to call it back in the day, Higurashi When Cicadas Cry. I'm old school like that. Don't forget the cicadas. This one's synopsis is, new kid Keiichi Mabara is settling in his new home into his new home of peaceful Hinamizawa village. I don't know why. I couldn't pronounce it back then. I can't pronounce it now. I'm sorry. Hinamizawa. Hinamizawa. Making quick friends with the girls from his school, he's arrived in time for a big festival of the year. But something about this isolated town seems off, and his feelings of dread continue to grow with a gnawing fear that he's right. What dark secrets could the small community be hiding? Studio for this adaptation of Higurashi When They Cry is Passione, who of course did Roka, Brave Six Flowers, Citrus, Interspecies Reviewers, and Rail Wars. The genres are drama, horror, mystery, psychological, and thriller. The source, of course, is a visual novel. And the director's time around is Keiichiro Kawaguchi, who did Island, Minami Kei, Nyan Koi, Please Listen, Gakko-chan, and Sket Dance. And like I mentioned earlier, Funimation will be licensing this one, so you'll be seeing it on Funimation's website and services.
That means you'll probably get an English dub, those of you who wanted that.
Yep, that's a for sure there. Well, not really a for sure. They do have some titles they don't dub, but most of the big one, and especially with this one, it's such a has a cult following of it, I doubt they're not going to dub it unless they find something offensive in it. Which is full of offensive stuff. What am I talking about? No, I am a huge fan of the original Higurashi When They Cry. It was a show that technically a lot of it has to do with its kind of horror and its unsettlingness, the violence in it. All that stuff was really the big part of it. And I think it wasn't until the very ending when you kind of have everything come together, especially with the sequel parts of it, really digging into what the secret is of the village, is where it really kind of gets more more than just the violence that, of course, it's properly known for. But I do know, and I don't know why I didn't put it on here, but the Akio Watanabe is doing the character designs for this one, so if you watch the trailer, you can definitely see his style there. I'm not a huge fan of Passione, so hopefully they don't screw it up. We've mentioned before that it's not always just what's their past record is. It's a good way to kind of get an idea. They could pour enough money into this that it gives Passione the resources they need to do a good job versus their other works. Hopefully they don't drop the ball. The PV looks good, but it's very hard to judge an entire series based on the clips that they personally select to put into a trailer.
We've been hit with that a few times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Rokuborei Six Flowers had a great trailer, so there's a prime example right there. I guess the other interesting thing to kind of note is that it is technically a multiple series thing, so I'm certain this will probably just cover the first core. It is a, like I said, the original one was several seasons. The first season was kind of from the perspective of the kids, whereas the next season was more focused on an external viewpoint of everything and really kind of diving into what actually happened. So I'm really curious if they're going to do similar to that or if they're going to try to kind of jump right into it and really get everything tackled down in one season. I think I read somewhere where it is classified as being this is the first season. So we'll see. We'll see if they stick to the same format, if they're actually going to try to, cause I don't know. It's been so long since I've watched the first season or the original adaptation, but I seem to remember that the first season kind of, it could have been shorter, and I remember the second really being a bit much, so I can see it being something they can condense, but I don't know. I don't know that they would. Like I said, I kind of see them doing multiple seasons, so we'll see, though. We'll see.
Truth be told, I'm so mixed. I really, really want to watch this, and at the same time, I don't. Mostly because I want to see the remake of it. It looks good in the PV, and I really want to see these characters updated and refreshed, and what they could, what how it looks as a whole. But there's so much in there I know I don't want to see again.
Just want to have those little rice balls with needles in them. Yeah, Higurashi no Naku no Koro ni, or Higurashi When They Cry New, or 2020 version, whatever they decide they want to call it. We'll see. Definitely an exciting one. Next one we have is Tonikaku Kawaii, or Tonikawa Over the Moon for You. This one, the story follows a protagonist whose name is written with the characters for Hoshizoru Zora, the starry sky in Japanese, but whose name is pronounced as Nasa. On the day of his high school entrance exam, Nasa encounters a beautiful girl named Tsukasa. For Nasa, it feels like destiny is finally calling out to him, and he will have a new girlfriend. But things take a turn for the worse when Nasa is hit by a car and unable to attend his entrance exam. After Tsukasa helps the injured Nasa, he confesses his feelings to her. And she agrees to go out with him, but only if Nasa agrees to marry her first. A year later, Nasa aces the entrance exams, but he decides to work a part-time job and live by himself instead of going to school. After Nasa turns 18, Tsukasa reappears, and their happy, romantic, and mysterious married life together begins. It feels like I read like the first two volumes. Mm-hmm. Probably the first two episodes. Probably the first episode right there. I'll probably just gloss over half that stuff. Studio is Seven Arcs, who did Sankare and Dog Days, as well as recently here Art. Genres are comedy, romance, sci-fi, slice of life. The source is a manga, and the creator is Kenjiro Hata, who did Hayate the Combat Butler. And, yes, this is another one for Crunchyroll Originals. So it will be on Crunchyroll. I just talked about how they only do violent stuff, and then here it is. Andrew just ate his own foot. Yeah, this is definitely one that I've been looking forward to for a while now. I think it was partly to do with the fact that it jumped out and bit me the moment they were announcing the... Because I, of course, never really seen anything on the manga. I think I've heard people mention it here and there, but it wasn't until the adaptation was announced that I was like, okay, this just kind of jumped out and bit me because, hey, this looks like Hayate the Combat Butler. Sure enough, it's the same creator. So it definitely is in my interest, in my radar, just because of the creator of it, and I'm sure he'll do an awesome job. Plus, it's a show about a married couple, so that's kind of a rarity as well. Your thoughts?
It looks absolutely adorable. And that's one thing that I did love about Combat Butler is that he had a knack for cute characters and pulling off some really fun hijinks. And so I have no doubt this is going to be a lot of fun. And I can't wait to watch it. It looks like just a great show.
It's kind of in that age group area is something like Golden Time?
Yeah.
Which I think is like a... Because we've always mentioned before, like, why is there always so many school shows? Because when they're young, when people are young, they're more impressionable. They haven't made up their mind in life yet. So there's more room to grow. Whereas somebody in their adulthood, unless it's like a action show or something like that, it's going to be a character that really they have their mindset. There isn't much character growth in a person that's an adult. And so this is like that really good middle point where there's still time to change your life. There's still time to really choose where you want to go. There's still, you know, opportunities for character growth to happen in that little time frame, which I think is perfect. So I'm certain it'll be a fantastic little show. Hopefully. Hopefully. Tonikaku Kawaii or Tonikawa Over the Moon for You. Check that one out if that sounds interesting. Next one we have is Noblesse. I think it's Noblesse.
Noblesse. I don't know.
I don't know either. That's why I'm asking.
It's been around for forever, and I still have not heard a proper way of saying that name.
For 820 years, he had slumbered with no knowledge of mankind's advancements and scientific progress. The land which he once knew has become an unfamiliar place with new technology, attitudes, and lifestyles. Upon awakening, Cadus and Etrama de Razel, a.k.a. Rai, seeks to familiarize himself with this era. He locates a loyal servant of his, Frankenstein, who is currently the principal of the South Korean high school. Gotta go back to high school. Rai decides that this school is the perfect place to help him learn about the modern world. He enrolls and begins associating with a group of good-natured students in order to blend in. But this new world is no safer than the old. And the dignified, bewildered, technologically inept Rai finds himself embroiled in adventures both ridiculous and dangerous. Production IG is going to be working on this one. They've done Psycho Pass, Haikyuu, Guilty Crown, Kimi ni Todake, Ghost in the Shell, Eden the East, Bunny Drop. The genres are action supernatural. The source is a manga, and this will be on Crunchyroll, as it's another Crunchyroll license. So there you go.
Yeah, that the PV makes about as much sense of what you just said. So I'll go with it.
I'm kind of in the middle ground with this one. Cause I like the synopsis. Like this guy.
You got something out of the synopsis.
Well, it's got the fish out of water thing going on with it.
Oh, is that what it is? It sounded like it was all over the place. So.
Yeah, it sounds like a guy, you know, awakening from the past and not having a clue about technology, anything around him, and kind of having to blend in. So Fish out of water stories can be kind of fun in that regard. Kind of like the Kurumokuru show that I watched a while back. It had kind of that, you know, samurai coming to the modern times and not really knowing things, but we'll see. Could be a cool, another again, school action show.
Yeah, it definitely looks like an action show. So we got people jumping out of helicopters. We got nails flying everywhere. We've got
lots of pretty boys, so keep that
bombs,
in mind.
We've got clones. We've got people having
seizures on
chain
fingernail
tables.
Growing.
And then
high
a pretty boy
fingernail action.
A pretty boy walking through a hallway with all the girls looking at him like
drawing his marker to sign the guy's cast. Mustangs nearly running into schoolgirls. Pulling men down with chains.
not just
girl
a dude
with a skull hoodie.
It's like muscle bound dude, like, you know, super Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's yanking him down by a chain and he's like half his size.
007 big guy with the weird hat that probably is a blade.
Blocking fist punches with casts.
White haired kid this with show. Black fangs. I don't know.
This is gonna be one of those shows where we go, I don't know what to make of this show.
Nah,
we're going
probably,
based on the PV.
It'll
anyway.
Probably pretty simple. We're just making it more than it is. Noblesse. Or Noblesse. That's a show. Check that out. If that sounds interesting to you. Yeah, but lots of pretty boy aesthetic, so I'm certain that's a audience it's going for as well. All right. Next one we have is Adachi to Shimamura. Adachi is skipping class when she first meets Shimamura in the gym loft. And just like that, a friendship is born. Except now, Adachi's having dreams about kissing her, and she doesn't know what that means. But she's pretty sure it's not something you would do with a friend. I'm sure you can. Come on. Mm-hmm. I do it all the time with my friends. Anyways, what are these strange feelings? They always look at me weird, though. She has what she thinks of Shimamura. And is it possible Shimamura feels the same way? Studio is going to be Tezuka Production, who did Quintessential Quintuplets, Dagashikashi 2, and A Lot of Blackjack. Genre is our romance, slice of life, school, and shoujo ai, the source of the light novel. The creator is Hitoma Iruma, who was the original creator and writer of Ground Control to Psychoelectric Girl, and did the light novel adaptation of Bloomin' to You. So, done some stuff. Bloomin' to You was definitely excellent. Of course, it's not the original creator of Bloomin' to You, it's just the light novel adaptation. So, and that was a really fantastic Yuri show, so hopefully this one can be in the same ballpark. Then we can have a pretty awesome Yuri show. So, yeah, your thoughts?
I think it looks good. It looks great. It looks absolutely fantastic.
The original character designs are also by Love Chunubio and Of Delusions, Nozomi Osaka. So that was kind of interesting as well.
Yeah, I love I love the aesthetic. I love the concept. I think it sounds like it could be very sweet and fun. So I'm very excited about this one.
Yep.
I thought it was going to be about ping pong, but apparently not.
That's all right. I originally thought it was going to be E.T.
It was going to be E.T.? There you go.
Because the key arts.
And there's a weird astronaut dude walking around with him. So
is there?
We'll see.
I didn't see the astronaut guy.
You'll see him. He pops maybe, out maybe in a
it's
second.
Maybe it's something from our dream.
It's very possible.
But like I said, I think having one, I love the character designer, Nozomi Osaka. But like I said, if the writing capability that was put into Bloomin' to You is rubbed off onto this creator, then I have a lot of hopes for them in writing. Because like I've mentioned several times before, my biggest issue with there's some groping happening. There you go.
No, you missed it. The you're
like right when he point, the scene changes and this girl's rubbing this other girl. But no, it's like okay. Apparently they have an astronaut midget. I don't. Why?
It was.
I suddenly don't want to watch this show anymore. Skipping porno. Like I said,
it goes with your ET idea.
Yeah, maybe ET's in there. Then maybe that's what they're going with. That could be.
Well, you did say something. You did mention the dreams, and it's very possible because there was a bunch of cookies in the background, so it might be part of a dream.
Could. We'll see. Well, he's literally talking to them when they're standing. Maybe that's in her dream, too. I don't know. Could be. Could be. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, hopefully the writing from Bloom Into You kind of rubbed off on the author, and this turns out to be a fantastic thing, because my issue always with the Yuri shows is I don't like Yuri shows that have the whole one character is aggressive and makes the other character question why the hell did you do that until eventually they finally go, well, okay, I'll go ahead and do this. And I hate that writing, and that it's in so many Yuri shows that I just never liked. Bloom Into You was a fantastic way of doing the whole writing, and I thought it was really well done, really respectful of the characters, and I hope that's something that they'll do similar here. So we'll see. We'll see, though. Again, that is Adachi to Shimamura, which is on Funimation as Adachi and Shimamura, so basically the English translation of that title, Toby and Anne. So, again, that'll be on Funimation, so check it out there if you are interested in some hopefully very awesome Yuri action. Moving on. We have Kamisama ni Natahi, or The Day I Became a God. This one, the third Key plus Aniplex plus PA Works original anime project by Jun Maeda, which, of course, their previous works were Angel Beats and Charlotte. One day during Yota Narukami's last summer vacation of high school, a girl named Hina suddenly appears and proclaims herself the all-knowing god. Hina announces to the thoroughly confused Yota, the world will end in 30 days. Yota then witnesses Hina's godlike powers of prophecy, convincing him that her powers are real. Hina's naive innocence belies her powers, and she decides to live at Yota's home for some reason. Thus begins an eventful summer before the end of the world. Again, this is being done by Studio PA Works. Of course, it's Angel Beats, Shiobako, Hanasaka Iroha, Makia, Eccentric Family. The genres are drama and fantasy. The source is original. The director is Yoshiyuki Asai, who did Charlotte and Fate Apocrypha. And as mentioned earlier, the creator is Jun Maeda, who did scenario work for Air, the visual novel, Clannad. They're all visual novels, and they're all adaptations. Air, Clannad, Little Busters, and Angel Beats. So, you excited, Chris?
Yes, I am.
You excited for more Jun Maeda torture?
Hopefully this is the good writer, right? Thinking.
Well, did you like Air, Clannad, Little Busters, Angel Beats, etc.?
Yeah, I do. I'm a little bit leery of anything Key right now, so.
Yeah, I mean, Charlotte wasn't the greatest. It wasn't terrible, in my opinion. It had its moments. But yeah, there is the hope that we can kind of go back to the writing that we fell in love with like Angel Beats and Clannad and Little Busters and Air TV. So, but no, I think it's a combination of a lot of fantastic people working together. I love a lot of Jun Maeda and Key's work. Aniplex, that's just Aniplex. I don't care. It's really just money. And PA Works does a fantastic job as well with animation. I mean, even if you don't like the shows themselves, PA Works is always going to deliver fantastic animation and characters. So, it just comes down to whatever Jun Maeda is feeling, I guess, at this point. We'll have to wait and see what Jun Maeda and Key decide to do with this particular story, and if it turns out to be something really fantastic or something that most people would see as being a little bit too repetitive. But I ain't going to judge it until we get to see it, and
yeah,
everything so far looks good. So
that's what it really comes down to. When it comes to Key, I'm not going to prejudge it. I have historically loved Key works. So
yeah. Yep, very true, very true. So we'll see. Kamisama ni Natahi, or The Day I Became a God. I don't know if we have an announcement for where that's going to yet. Cool. I don't know if, I think Crunchyroll said they got it. Day I became, hang on. Well, there's Aniplex, so it's probably going to be on Funimation. I don't know why I even had to search. If it's Aniplex, it's going to be, Aniplex USA is going to get it, and then it's going to go to Funimation at least, so. There you go. Next one we have is Maho no, Maho no Tabi.
I don't want to watch it.
Why are we getting an ad, Kadokawa TV? Why are you advertising your advertisement? Why are you putting advertisements on your advertisement? Maho no Tabi, or Wandering Witch, The Journey of Elena. Once upon a time, there was a witch named Elena who set off on a journey across the world. Along the way, she would meet all kinds of people, from a country full of witches to a giant in love with his own muscles. But with each meeting, Elena would become a small part of their story, and her own world would get a little bit bigger. Yeah, I think if you ran into a giant, it's going to be pretty big. That was funny. I'm sorry. I had to do it. The studio is C2C. Of course, did World End, Hitori Bochi, and Harakana Receive. The genres are adventure, comedy, and fantasy, and the source is a light novel. Yeah, unfortunately, this one, nothing really notable to go with for the creators behind it, and I'm a little bit hesitant on C2C. I think Hitori Bochi was fantastic, and Harakana Receive did well. I think it had some slip-up points, but they did a good job with a lot of stuff, especially their ability to hide repeat animations for their volleyball they were doing. Even though C2C doesn't have a lot under their belt, I guess they have done a really good job with what they have. So I do have hope there. But definitely looking forward to this one. Always enjoy witch stories. It's kind of got a almost like a mixture of like almost like a Kino's Journey mixed with, I don't know, Flying Witch or something like that, kind of traveling around and meeting people, which I think is a really cool idea. So
I'm highly excited about this. This looks absolutely fantastic. The concept is really cool. The character looks absolutely adorable and super excited to be doing what she's doing. So yeah, I'm super excited. I really want to watch this show. This looks great.
Yep. Yep. Dancing teddy bears.
And dancing teddy bears.
Dancing teddy bears. Maho no Tabi, or Wandering Witch, The Journey of Elena. Check that one out if that sounds interesting to you. We have a returning contender. I think we've talked about this one before. I think this is something that has been delayed for a while now. But Ikebukuro Westgate, or Westgate Park. Ikebukuro Westgate Park. My gosh, I got it out.
I'm surprised you can't say that the city name.
I don't know why. It's just like it's one of those ones where, like, until you actually have it written down and you're reading it, it just for some reason doesn't want to work. Living in an area known for its juvenile crime, 21-year-old Makoto is a friend of King, the leader of youth gang called G-Boys. Though he himself does not want to join as a member, known for his cool head and ability to get things done, Makoto becomes a key troubleshooter for the gang by defusing tense situations and keeping his friends out of harm's way. However, the death of his girlfriend, spoiler, and an escalating turf war with a rival gang threatens to be more than Makoto can handle. Studio behind this one is going to be Dogokobo. Of course, did Monthly Girl and Zaki-kun, Helpful Fox, Senko-san, Todaku-kun Never Falls in Love, and 3D3 Colors. These genres are drama, mystery, romance. The source is a urban mystery novel series, which has also had a TV drama done by it and manga adaptation. And you can find this one on Funimation, as they have already licensed it. So,
thoughts? So, are we going with dance battles, or are we... Is this gang rival green gang thing? Or?
Yeah, it seems more urban, like drama, I would say.
Okay, so he's doing martial arts. He's not dancing.
Well, they probably have dancers in the group. I mean, a lot of people like to do break dancing and stuff. Maybe that's in his thing. I don't know.
They're going to slap him with
it says something about being on the stage. Or is it just, like, the stage of the show?
Going to slap him with the roses.
The curtain opens on a stage of chaos.
Okay, never mind. It's not a literal roses. Stage.
He's going to do a Kagakoko.
Kagakoko. Maybe he uses his dancing skills to fight people. Yeah,
he's using his face as a.
I'm not a fan of the style, but I do like the setting and everything. I think that could be a good storytelling there. And since it's had several, now see, I say this with a hesitation. It has several adaptations for it, and that's usually a pretty good sign of a good story. Though that could just mean that
nobody's done it right.
It's a TV drama, so obviously probably the selling point of the TV drama was probably a lot of really well-known male actors. So that doesn't really tell me too much, but I mean, having manga adaptations and stuff like that does help a little bit there. But yeah, I'm decently excited for this one.
I'm interested.
The setting and everything is good.
I could definitely say I'm interested. It looks like something new and interesting, so I'm definitely wanting to give it a try.
Ikebukuro Westgate Park. Check that out if that sounds interesting to you. Next one we have is Kimi to Boku no Saigo no Senjo. Arui wa Sekai ga Hajimaru Seisen. Or Our Last Crusade or The Rise of a New World. Our Last Crusade or The Rise of a New World? I've never had an "or" in a title before. Unless it was Read or Die. I guess that was one. this one is a great war has raged for years between the scientifically advanced empire of Nebulus, the realm of the witches, until the youngest knight ever to receive the title of emperor, the empire's strongest meets the princess of a rival nation. That is a very weird sentence. Though they are sworn enemies, the knight is taken by her beauty and dignity, and the princess is moved by his strength and way of life. Will the fighting between them ever be allowed to end? Is this going to be a Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah, it's totally a Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet. Oh, kawaii. Everybody's dying around them, but they're just fascinated by each other's beauty. Studio is going to be Silver Link. They did Kokoro Connect, Bakuden Test, Nonobiori, Mitsuboshi Colors. The genres are action, ecchi, fantasy, romance. Source is light novel, if you did not guess by the title. And the director is Shin Aonuma, who did F, A Tale of Melodies and Memories, as well as Kokoro Connect. And this one will be on Funimation. Meh. I don't know. Nothing about that synopsis really has me going.
I don't know. It sounds interesting in the technology versus magic thing.
Yeah.
So it might be fun to see how they play that out. But
I think I'm a little fresh off of the other one. It's like I don't know if I really want to jump right into another Romeo and Juliet story.
Well, that's just an excuse to throw the two together. But I think the concept is a bit more interesting.
She's already got a figure, of course. I like the main girl's character design, and they already have a figure on the trailer. I like the character designs, and like I said, I don't know that the story is going to be all that fascinating, but Brown Couch. We'll see if it Brown Couches does something different. I don't know. We'll see. Kimi to Boku no Saigo no Senjo Arui wa Sekai ga Hajimaru Seisen, or Our Last Crusade or The Rise of a New World. Their action filmation's actually going with his title, so it's not really a depending one. We'll see. Moving on, we have Akudama Drive. Long ago, the Kanto and Kansen countries at a war that divided the world. But at the end of the war, Kenshin became a vassal to Kanto. However, Kenshin's government, Kensai's government and police force declined, and crime became rampant. The criminals are called Akudama. That is extremely vague synopsis. There was a war, one lost. A lot of crime came in one of the locations. That's it. Studio is going to be Perot, the studio that did Tokyo Ghoul, Naruto, Black Clover, Bleach. The genres are action, sci-fi. The source is an original. The creator is Kazutaka Kodoka, who did Danganronpa. And the character designs is done by Rui Komatsuzaki, who, of course, did the artwork for Danganronpa. And the director is Tomohisa Taguchi, who did work on Persona 3 and 4, the animations, as well as Twin Star Exorcist. And this, again, will be on Funimation. So, yeah. I think the only thing that has me slightly interested in this one is it's just got Danganronpa all over it. Creator, artist, character designer, both being involved in it. So
that makes a lot of sense. I was looking at this and I was like, man, the character artwork is crazy. I actually really like the character artwork. It's super dark, super edgy. Makes perfect sense now that Andrew mentioned Danganronpa. So, but it is dark, so I don't know how dark it's going to get, but it definitely has my interest. It looks really, really... I do like the way it looks.
So far, Chris will go for Danganronpa. The trailer looks completely violent and dark, and he's like, yeah, sure, I'm going with this one.
It looks real dark.
Not a sense of hesitation.
I mean, it's not showing blood or anything like that. We're not, well, I don't, unless that lady was making blood, so I don't know.
Literally right when he said that this chick's chopping up something, there's blood flying up.
Well, you can make assumption it looks like blood, so.
No,
there's lots of knives and stuff, so I mean, yeah, there could be blood. We've got ambulances and police officers and people looking away from police. So, yeah, it could be dark. I don't know. Possible.
Yeah, fun fact for Andrew. I'm not a fan of Danganronpa. Let me say that I'm mixed on Danganronpa's style, or at least the creator's style, because he does work for a lot of other stuff, including, like, Fate Grand Order. I'm always mixed on that art style. Like, some of it looks really good, and then some of it just doesn't look that good, in my opinion. But I do know that Danganronpa is a game that I've been wanting to play for a long time. I've heard a lot of good things about it, so I'll be... That has my interest based on the fact that I know that the writer has a lot of cult following, so I'll definitely be looking forward to this one. Just the art style doesn't really bleed in the animation. I mean, it's probably similar to Rinji Murata, where... You can get it in key art. I mean, the key art just screamed Danganronpa when I seen it. But whereas the animation doesn't really fully capture it, that's probably similar to something that, like, Rinji Murata can't really find somebody that actually portray it well. Yeah, that's Akudama Drive. Check that one out if that one's interesting to you. Next one we have is Assault Lily Bouquet. This one is, on Earth, in the near future, humanity face imminent destruction from mysterious giant creatures known as Huge. The entire world unites
Seems
against
like
the
we've
Huge.
Heard this one before.
Yeah, it's been in our discussions a few times. The entire world unites against the Huge and successfully develops weaponry known as Charms, or Counter Huge Arms, which is just fascinating wording there. I think that was one of the biggest jokes that we had when we were discussing this, was the fact that I like these people. There's an imminent threat to the world, and instead of them having, like, a circle, you know, round table where they try to figure out a really fantastic name, like, all these other shows, they have, like, these really complicated names, and you know it took some people sitting around going, so you want to go with this name? They have, like, a whiteboard with, like, 50 million options, and they finally choose one that sounds really good. They just said, there's something out there killing us. Let's just call it Huge. Hey, man, we got this thing that'll fight it. Let's just call it Counter Huge. Good. We're good. Fight. Go. Yeah. By combining science and magic, Charm exhibits high rates of synchronization with teenage girls, which is just kind of a common thing in the world of anime. Just go with it. And the girls who use Charm are viewed as heroes called lilies. Now, they probably got a little complicated with the decision there. They could have probably just said girls. Throughout the world, garden military academies are established to train lilies to face the huge and to serve as bases to protect and guide people. This is a story about fighting girls who aim to become lilies at one such garden. Probably out of Final Fantasy VIII, they borrowed the gardens.
I will not admit to whether or not I thought about that.
studio is Shaft, who did, of course, Madoka Magica, the Monogatari series, and March Comes in Like a Lion. The genres are action and fantasy. The source is a mixed media project that's mainly focused around figurines as well as other things. So, yeah, Assault Lily Bouquet. Shaft doing an advertisement show. I don't know how I feel about that. Are we really going there, Shaft? Have we really gone to that direction that we're now doing advertisement? Well, I guess they technically did Magia Record.
They're doing an advertisement?
Yeah, it's like a series mixed media project kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Usually mixed media project stuff goes to, you know, the smaller companies unless they're financially involved with it, so... Seems a little weird having Shaft do it.
I don't know. It's an odd interesting thing to consider. It's definitely a the concept is interesting. It yeah, I just want to make fun of the Charm. No, I love the concept. It sounds fun, and I am interested in watching it. But yeah, I really really want to make fun.
They have a lot of CGI usage too. Of course, again, Shaft is known for doing weird CGI thrown into stuff. I don't know. I hope this doesn't end up being one of Shaft's rare kind of throwaway shows. I mean, I have hope. I don't even really know if there is a solid source material to go behind Assault Lily, just because it is centered around a multimedia project, or if they're actually going to work on the writing for this themselves. Maybe hopefully they'll do something really cool with it. But as it sounds now, there's not really anybody in the credits for it that is standing out to me, and that's another concern that I have.
Watch them bring in Jinro Bucci.
Yeah, I don't know where Jinro Bucci jumps in there and kills off somebody in the episode 3. We'll see. The character designs look good. The action, even though it does have a lot of CGI in it, looks good. So I'm not going to completely down it until we watch it, but we'll see.
I'm telling you, it looks crazy interesting. But it's one of those that you'll never know until you actually watch it. And the fact that it's Shaft, I do hold out hope. It's rare to actually have a Shaft show that we've not liked. I mean...
Rare, yes. Rare. There was that... what was it? The Tokyo Voice Actors or whatever that one was. Yeah, that one. Assault Lily. Okay. Check that one out if you like Shaft, because you're probably going to like it.
With thighs.
There's a lot of size, yeah. There you go. Moving on. We have 100 man no inoshi no ue ni ore wa tateru, or I'm standing on a thousand, or no, I'm sorry, I'm standing on a million lives. Ninth grader Yusuke Yotsuya is practical, friendless, and not active in any clubs. Then one day, he and two female classmates are suddenly sent to another world where they must work together to battle for their lives. Yatsuya is a lone wolf and has always lived his life according to his wants. But now he will work out. But how will he work out now? How will that work out now that he's supposed to be a hero? Get ready for a one-of-kind fantasy story that challenges everything you thought you knew about fantasy. I'm doubting that. We'll see, though.
I've heard that lie before.
This one is being done by Studio Maho Films, who did If It's For My Daughter, I'd Even Defeat a Demon Lord, and By the Grace of God, which is technically launching this season as well. So not many things under their name. Genres are action, drama, fantasy. The source is a manga, and the series composition is being done by Takao Yoshioka, who did Moros Mononokian, Elfin Lied, Seven Deadly Sins, Your Lie in April, and Familiar of Zero. So, decent series composition person working on it. But yeah. What are you thinking, Chris? We've talked about this one a couple times, but I'm not sure. We technically need to say what we think of it now versus back then. I was mixed on it originally because I'm okay with the concept. You know, we're probably one of the more accepting people of, you know, the continuous adaptations of isekai shows that's prevalent these days. But I wasn't too sure if I'm going to like the main character because one of the shots of the PV makes it look like he's a jerk. But we will see. It's a good concept.
He probably is a jerk, and then he realizes he can't win without his friends, and so that's kind of the twist on this one.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious if it's going to have some kind of reset in it or not.
I don't know. It's an interesting. I want to like it. Let me just put it that way. It's one of those that I do really want to watch, and I want to like it because I do like the way the characters look. I am a little bit hesitant of the fact that this is a new studio and the fact that it has two shows at the same time going on. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, By the Grace of Gods in this one.
Ugh.
And the only other thing they've actually done themselves was If It's For My Daughter, I'd Defeat the Demon Lord, which I remember not really being that decent, but it was not that moving, so it wasn't a very mobile show or action-heavy from what I've seen of it, though. I don't know. I guess the other issue is it seems like it's... It doesn't have any genre tags as comedy, but the PV shows a lot of comical scenes. And yet it also shows a lot of very kind of possibly grim scenes. So I don't know how it's going to handle its mood, if it's going to be more serious or if it's going to be more comedic. So a lot of mixed emotions on this one. We'll see when it comes out. I do have some kind of hope for it. So we'll see if it turns out good or if it turns out to be another brown chair. Brown couch. Forget the brown couch again. Brown couch. Yeah, that's I'm Standing on a Million Lives or 100 man no inochi no ue ni ore wa tatteru. Check that one out if you're looking for another isekai. Moving on to some bear action. We have Kuma Bear. 15-year-old Yuna prefers staying home and obsessively playing her favorite VR MMO game to doing anything else, including going to school. When a strange new update gives her a one-of-a-kind bear outfit that comes with overpowered abilities, Yuna is torn. The outfit is unbearably cute, but too embarrassing to wear in-game. But then she suddenly finds herself transported into the world of the game, facing down monsters with a magic that's real, and the bear suit becomes the best weapon she has. Studio is EMT Square, who did Rinnai Bokuin and Assassin's Pride. The genres are adventure, comedy, fantasy, slice of life. The source is a light novel, the series composition being done by Takashi Aoshima, who did Kotoro-san, Minamike, Uzaki-chan, Wants to Hang Out. And, yeah. Another isekai with overpowered ability show. What do you think, Chris?
I am super excited about this one. I've been wanting to watch it ever since they first announced it, like, 3 seasons ago. So, yeah, I'm super excited. I cannot wait to watch this one. It looks so adorable. Sounds so fun. And can't wait. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely looks cute. And to Chris's point, this did deck... I think this kind of announced... back when we were watching I Don't Like to Feel Pain, So I Put All My Points in Defense, whatever that show is called. And so it's like I was fresh off of that one, which I did not like because it was literally just, oh, yeah, she's overpowered and everybody's talking about how overpowered she is. To this one where that might be the same thing, but we'll see. It definitely just looks like cute girls doing OP in a cute world. So hopefully not too much focus on her going around beating everybody else and everybody going how amazing she is. It looks like she can, like, create buildings with her bear outfit, too, which I really wasn't expecting from the synopsis. Yeah. Like I said, I think it aims more into the realm of just cute girls doing cute things rather than, even though the main character was cute with the I Put All My Points in Defense, it was more centered around them as a team going out and defeating other people and PvP and skill building and stuff. This one just looks more like, hey, we're stuck in this world. Bear paws make buildings and heal people and eat eggs. Yeah, that's Kuma 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 Bear. Check that one out if you're looking for some cute girls doing cute things. Moving on, we have the other one from Mao Films that we were talking about earlier, By the Grace of Gods, which is another one that Funimation has kind of been touting for a while, but this one will be on Funimation. It's Kamitachi ni Hiroarete Otoko, or By the Grace of Gods. Under the protection of the gods, a relaxed life with slimes in another world begins. One day, the life of middle-aged Japanese businessman Ryoma Takabayashi came to a rather sudden and disappointing end. Ryoma had never had a blessed life, but after his death, three great gods sought his cooperation and reincarnated him as a child in another world with swords and magic. Receiving a most cardinal and divine welcome from the gods, Ryoma decides to live leisurely on his own in the forest for the time being. Working diligently at magic and hunting, Ryoma's greatest passion comes to be researching his tamed slimes. Training a variety of slimes, some newly discovered, the curtain rises on the easygoing life of easygoing life fantasy, celebrating a second life with kind people in another world. This one's being done, like I said, by Maho Films that did If It's For My Daughter, I Even Defeat His Demon Lord, as well as I'm Staying on a Million Lives this season. The genres are adventure, fantasy, slice of life. The source is light novel, and the series composition and script writing is being done by somebody I didn't put their name down who did Black Clover, Is the Order of Rabbit, and Recovery of M.O. Junkie. Yeah. Good series composition and script writer behind it that I didn't write down their name, so that's a positive. Again, my hesitation based on the fact that Maho Films hasn't really done too much, and here they are doing two shows in one season. My only thought process behind them doing two shows, I think...
I'm almost thinking that one of them's already done.
Yeah, I want to say that By the Grace of God was announced a while back, and maybe it was already nearly finished, and it was delayed by the COVID. So that could very well be it. They may have been working on one of these two titles beforehand. Now one is nearly completed. So, because I want to say that By the Grace of Gods was announced sometime.
Seems like it's been a while.
Almost 2 years ago.
This is another one that I've been looking forward to for a while because of the concept. This one is slightly different because of the fact that I think when we were discussing it, it almost sounded because it comes off as kind of a Iyashike, and then we were kind of liking the concept of almost a Monster Tamer type feel idea of it, to where it's just him just having a leisurely life and experimenting with the slimes. So it's very interesting to see what can come out of this one, and it'll be a lot of fun to watch this show.
Very much looks like a builder as well. Like he's going to build a small village or something out of it.
And he's got a cat girl.
Yep. He got a cat girl, like a priestess looking girl. He's got everything figured out. All right. Again, Kamitachi ni Hiroarete Otoko, or By the Grace of Gods. Yeah, definitely. It's an interesting one. Definitely looking forward to, so we'll see. Moving forward, We have Iwa Kakeru Sports Climbing Girls, or hang on, Climbing Girls. This one is a story centers around a girl who competes in the sports climbing, particularly climbing artificially constructed walls. First-year high school student Konomi Kasahara discovered the sport at Hinamiya Girls High School after training her mind with puzzle games during junior high school. The studio is Blade, who did Cheating Craft and The Silver Garden, so they got tons of great shows under their belt. Genres are comedy, drama, ecchi, sports. The source is a manga. The director is Tetsuro Amino, who did Break Blade, Iria Zerum, the animation, SD Gundam, the 1991 version of Arslan Senki. The series composition by Toko Machida, who did Happy Circle Life, Chaika the Coffin Princess, Lucky Star, and Show by Rock. So, even though I have very little hope for Studio Blade, it's got some good people behind it. So, yeah. How to kind of receive 2.0? Question mark?
I don't know. I like the concept. I love the way it looks like it can be. It looks like it's capturing the intensity. So it looks like it can be a very interesting show. However, don't know how long this can stay interesting because it is effectively mock rock climbing. So I don't know. Wait, how far can you take it? We'll go with it, though.
You keep finishing by throwing every archetype into there.
Yeah.
Including the spider girl and the tsundere crazy girl. It looked like the crazy ballerina girl. Each one of the challenges is going to be a different archetype. That's how you keep that. Yeah, there was a ballerina. It looked like a sumo wrestler. Looked some kind of...
Yonky.
Yonky thing. I don't know.
The some Puma panther lady. Chick.
The spider lady. With bunny, I like the spider lady has bunny ears, so spider bunny apparently. That's how you keep it interesting, Chris. That's how you keep it interesting. Yeah, that's really the question mark for me is like with Harakana Receive and stuff. It's well, not really necessarily Harakana Receive. Like I said, Harakana Receive did well in hiding the reused animations, and I don't see that necessarily being something that they can do. Well, like, I guess there's ways that they can do that with this one. But more so, is it going to turn into something like Scorching Ping Pong Girls, where it just turns into, here's the super power-ups. What they technically did with Harakana Receive, with, you know, the spin shots and stuff, which is technically possible in volleyball, but not to the extremes that they were doing it with. But that is technically something they do to keep, you know, the interesting factor with these things. So, we'll see. I kind of like the main character. She looks cute. But we'll see. We'll see if something like this can have legs. Can hang on. Sorry. Iwa Kakeru Sports Climbing Girls or Hang On Climbing Girls. See if that's turns out to be something good there. Moving on. Next one we have is Yūkoku no Moriarty, or Moriarty the Patriot. The story's protagonist is James Moriarty, the famous antagonist from Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's Sherlock Holmes series. In an orphanage, he is an orphan who assumes the name of William James Moriarty when he and his younger brother are adopted into the Moriarty family. As a young man, he seeks to remove the ills caused by England's strict class system. The studio is Production IG, who did Psycho Pass, Haiku, Guilty Crown, Eden of the East, Bunny Drop. So this will be their second title this season. The genres are mystery and psychological, and the source is a manga. Yeah. Nothing, unfortunately, again, another one that doesn't really have any notable people behind it that I've seen. I'm all for this type of storytelling because it's very unique in the anime sphere. Usually most anime is cute girls doing cute things or ecchi stuff or high action Naruto shonen type stuff. So to have something that's more grounded in, I don't know how grounded in reality is going to be it could be really, you know, supernaturally or something like that thrown in there. But the problem is that sometimes with these types of storytelling, especially more foreign stories, they sometimes turn a little more boring, but we will see. I have some hope for it.
I wonder if this is supposed to be from his perspective, the Sherlock Holmes story. It'll be interesting to see.
That's what the thing says. Well, based on the synopsis, it's going kinda based on James like Moriarty. Yeah.
It's based on him, definitely. But is it just the Sherlock story from his perspective is what I'm interested in finding out. I have not dug into it as much as I want to, but that would be an interesting thing if it's from his perspective.
Yeah, that's the other problem with me is haven't really been a big fan of Sherlock Holmes. I mean, I watched a couple of the different adaptations of it, especially like the more cartoonish ones that were done of him, but never really been a huge fan of Sherlock Holmes. But that is an interesting way of taking them from the point of Moriarty for sure. We'll see though. Yukoku no Moriarty, or Moriarty the Patriot. Check that one out if you are interested in that one. Moving on back to what's actually anime with cute girls and stuff. Golly, sorry guys, we just took a little detour there with some, you know, normal, normie stuff with, you know, Sherlock Holmes and stuff. But Ochi Kobore Fruit Tart. Okibori Ochi Kobori Fruit Tart, or Dropout Idol Fruit Tart. Dropout Idol Fruit Tart follows a group of show business dropouts. Rookie idol Sakura Ino, promising newcomer Midori Himo, former child actor Sekino Uroko, former model Mei Hara Nina, and former musician Nukui Hayo. Hayu, who all live in a dormitory together. But when it's revealed that the dorm is set to be demolished, manager Kajino Hoho has a plan. Start a new idol group called Fruit Tart with the girls and pay off a hefty 100 million yen debt.
There you go.
That's sounds legit. Studio is Phil, who did Romantic Comedy Snafu, Mayo Chiki, Shiki, Hinamatsuri, and Outbreak Company. The genres are music, slice of life, the sources of manga. And the creator is Sohama Yumiba, who did Hanayamata. So, that's one that Chris watched a while back. I'm sure he's excited to see more of that person's work. Maybe.
Looks adorable. The characters are very distinct. So yeah, I love the idea of kind of a bunch of dropouts not knowing what to do and kind of pulling together a random idol group. That'll be interesting, not knowing anything about it and just jumping right on in. So it could be fun. It definitely sounds interesting.
Yeah, and I really like the character designs. I agree with Chris, they're very unique looking, but they're still really cute. So that's always a plus. This one will be on Funimation as well, by the way. But I guess my biggest problem, like everything about this looks great. It's an idol show, cute characters, very unique art style. The animation looks very active. My only caveat that's going to tell me if I like the show or not is if one of the girls in the first episode jumps two stories into a window. Then I'm going to drop it, because he did that to me in Hanayamata. I'm just kidding, by the way. Yeah. I'm looking forward to this one. Looks cute. Looks fun. Hopefully it delivers. We'll see. Ochi Kobore Fruit Tart. Again, I think it's another one that's been kind of... We've been kind of waiting for this one for a while now, so... it's good to see it finally getting... Hopefully, actually coming out finally. Moving on, we have Hypnosis Mike Division Rap Battle Rhyme Enema. It's a very interesting name, but we'll go with it. After the war, women have been taken over ruling politics in the Show Ward, and have banned and destroyed weapons. This has caused men to fight through rap battles using hypnosis mics. I just chose to read this all dramatically, and it's just turning out fantastic with the synopsis. Which can be used to affect people's sympathetic nerves and influence their thought process. However, the legendary rap group, The Dirty Dog, has split up into four groups, each representing a division of Tokyo, Japan, and are engaging in territorial battles using words and the hip mics. That's a good idea. Let's just have women take over politics, get rid of weapons, and have all feuds handled by rap battles. I actually don't even know what's worse.
I don't
weapons
understand.
Or hypnotic music.
I'm everything about this is like, okay, this is just absurd. I get the you've got the rap battles replacing regular wars. Okay, I got that. I'm with you there. Okay, but why hypnosis? I mean, seriously, that makes no sense. You're effectively undermining everything that you're doing because you're
Is
taking
every
away
one of them
will.
Heterochromia.
Like, it why, almost looked like it didn't.
Why
it?
The hell do we? Why do we always get heterochromia in boy shows? Why can't we have heterochromia in girl shows?
It's like, they're even doing start... the lighting cigarettes with each other's...
like the pocky stick thing.
Oh my gosh, people.
I don't,
This one's not really high on my list. Just saying. I mean...
Affects people's sympathetic
literally
and
every
influences
one of them
their thought process. This sounds very dangerous. Like I said, I'm not sure why we're not okay with guns... But we're okay with things
hypnosis,
that mess with your
telling you.
Sympathetic nerves and influences your thought processes. That's a thing.
Hypnotic. I mean, are we thinking that we're hypnotizing armies, and then whoever has the biggest army at the end is technically the winner? I
think it just makes the person like go, I get it. I change my ways and they walk away and that's it. I think that's technically what they're going with. But we'll see. I don't know if we'll see. This just looks like... It literally just looks like a pretty boy show. So, if you're into pretty boy shows, I'm sure you're going to really enjoy this one. I'm sure it probably has a crazy popular cast of male voice actors, and that's usually with these types of shows. So, check that out if that's something you're looking for. But I do appreciate them giving me a very funny synopsis to have to read. So, yeah. Hypnosis, Mike, Division Rap Battle, Rhyme, Anima. Check that one out if that one sounds interesting to you. And I'm sure it'll be on Funimation because it's A1 Pictures doing it. So, I didn't mention that. Sorry. And that it's mixed media project by A1 Pictures. So, there you go. Oh, yeah. And the genres is music and probably psychological horror. For some people. Moving on. Let's walk away. Let's walk away slowly. To Maojo de Oyasumi, or Sleeping Princess in the Demon Castle. Shh! Princess Silas is trying to get a good night's sleep. Some shut-eye. 40 winks. I've never heard the term 40 winks. Catch some Z's. Long ago, in olden times, when people and demons lived together in, well, disharmony, really, a demon king kidnaps a human princess and imprisons her in a castle. Bereft, the princess's subjects beat their chest in anguish until a hero rises to spearhead Project Rescue Our Princess. While waiting for her knight in shining armor, what's an imprisoned princess to do? Teddy bear guards with bat wings are all very well, but her dungeon cell is boring. I love this synopsis. So, she decides to will away the long hours by sleeping Now, if only she'd get comfortable and didn't suffer from insomnia. Stewie is Dokobo, who again did Monthly Girls and Zaki-kun, New Game, Help of Vox and Kosan, Tadakun Never Falls in Love, Three Leaves, Three Colors. Again, this will be the second show for the season for them. The source is a manga. The genres are comedy, fantasy, slice of life, supernatural. The director is Mitsui Yamazaki, who did Tadakun Never Falls in Love and Monthly Girl and Zaki-kun. Series of composition by Yoshiko Nakamura, who did Tadakun Never Falls in Love. And, yeah. What do you think, Chris?
This sounds great. And it's done by Dogokobo, so I'm, like, thrilled. This is going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait. It looks like it's going to be her trying to figure out a way to fall asleep well. And I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
I only have two problems with this. One, I don't really like her character design. And I usually love everything that comes out of Dogokobo, but I don't like her character design. I don't know, maybe it'll grow on me, but yeah, just way too flat lines on her eyes are really weird. But also, I'm having like bad flashbacks of the Beelzebub, what was it called? Beelzebub,
I don't know what you're talking about.
It was the one that had Beelzebub as the main character, and she was a female, and what Beelzebub wants or something like that. And like, they have these long segments of her just being fluffy mode. I don't think that's going to be this case, but I just have that weird feeling. But no, I think my biggest issue is I don't really like her character design, but maybe it'll grow on me. I love Dogokobo. I'm sure it'll be fun and interesting, so we'll see.
Well, it's one of those character types. I can tell it's the character type that I would like, and I don't think you've ever really much cared for him. It's the deadpan joke type character.
Yeah. As Beelzebub once, as Beelzebub, it's driving me crazy. Look at the stinking name of that stupid show. Beelzebub, I can't spell Beelzebub once anime. As Miss Beelzebub likes. I think that was it. Yeah. Did not like that show. It had some good moments, but I didn't like it overall. So we'll see, though. Like I said, I have lots of hope for Dogokobo. They very rarely ever don't work for me when they do shows, so hopefully not this one will be the one. Moving on. This one is a fascinating one. Very fascinating one. Sinyoku no Sigurdrifa.
Zed.
Sigurdrifa. Sigurdrifa. Warlords of Sigurdrifa. The pillars suddenly appear above Earth, threatening all life. A god who called himself Odin came to the aid of humanity as it was driven to the near complete defeat. To counter the pillars, Odin declares a counterattack by bequeathing humanity with the battle maidens Valkyries and the hero craft as their wings. Several years later, the battle between humanity and pillars rages on, with men supporting the Valkyries as they soar through the treacherous skies to save the world. Japan is no exception. Three Valkyries confront the giant pillars looming over sacred Mount Fuji. Each Valkyrie is skilled, but each also has issues. And now an ace pilot has arrived from Europe. Now is the time to fight back, humanity. The day of reckoning has arrived. The time of Ragnarok draws near. This one is being done by Studio A1 Pictures, who of course did Sword Online, Your Lie in April, Seven Deadly Sins, Erased, yada, 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 50 million shows. The genres are action, fantasy. The source is an original. And here's the very interesting part about this entire thing that I alluded to earlier. The series composition and script writing is done by Tape Nagatsuki, who is the creator of ReZero. Of course, is also making a light novel series based off of this one. Yeah, if you're a fan of ReZero, you probably want to check this out because it's the same writer. So, but I found that very interesting. I don't think I actually read anything on this beforehand. But when I was putting together the outline, there's always those, every now and then something jumps up to me and says, oh, hey, I did not know that. That's cool. We'll see if it, we'll see if the writer of ReZero can possibly able to, I don't know, put lightning in a bottle more than once, because we really enjoy ReZero. So
it sounds like fun. I mean, we're talking playing girls and fun.
Okay.
I don't know. It sounds like it can be I don't know what the heck was going on in the synopsis. Honestly, I was just watching the cute girls turning into planes. So
yeah, basically, mankind coming to the end, and Odin gives humanity Valkyries, and the Valkyries are
plane girls.
Apparently, plane girls. It's funny because I was the opposite. I'm reading the synopsis and I'm thinking like flying crazy Valkyries or something. And then I finally look at the synopsis in there, or the video, and it's suddenly, oh, they're playing girls. So, I don't know.
I think they're playing girls. They might just
be... They look like they're flying planes.
Yeah, I don't know if they're flying the planes or if they're actually playing girls, but...
Men supporting Valkyries as they soar through the treacherous skies. So it's kind of like Strike Witches, but...
They're not. I'm not seeing any transformations. I just see planes. They are associating a girl with a plane. So,
well, obviously, you have shots where mankind is flying jets, fighter jets, into these things, and they're getting blown up. And then these girls show up in like old school propeller planes, and they're able to take on the bad guy. Obviously, they have some type of magical ability, or they're just really good at dodging. Whereas the jets weren't able to dodge bullets. So, they technically doesn't show any magic, but I'd assume they have some type of ability because they're gifted from Odin. So they obviously have something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, like I said, I have a lot of high expectations. And I guess it's a bad thing. It's never really good to go into a show with really huge expectations just because you do like a writer's previous work. But I do love ReZero. So I have a hope that this creator can do something else really good. I don't necessarily see anything standout-ish from the PV. It's just, yeah, like a few of the character designs, they look really cute. Nothing really else there. It's just, here's planes, people standing around talking, some smiling, planes, that's it. Some little bit of... shots at the beginning of something bad going on, obviously the world coming to an end and this girl showing up.
And see what makes me think that it's the girls also is the fact that you were mentioning that there's a ace pilot that's coming in. So maybe he's training the four girls into how to fly planes, but okay, what's this? Why are we separating the two from?
No, I think the ace pilot is probably gonna be this girl. She looks like she's the bubbly.
She's another plane.
An ace pilot. She's probably gonna be the one that saves them all.
Nah, I don't know. I'm telling you, there's four planes and four girls.
Three girls confront the giant pillar looming over Mount Fuji. Each girl is skilled, but also has issues. Now, an ace pilot has arrived from Europe.
I'm going to assume that's the blonde. If you're going to make one of them an ace pilot, it's probably going to be the blonde.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be the blonde. But she's the one that looks like she has the issues, because if you look back here, she looks upset over here.
And she looks like she was gifted to the world, too. So, I don't know. I don't get it.
One, two, three, four.
Yeah, there's four girls and four planes.
Yeah, it's probably because he does a salute at the very beginning, showing up. So she's obviously coming into there, right here. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see which one has the issues and which one's the rival. I don't know. I have high expectation for Genki Girl. She's obviously going to be the new rival that saves her. But you know, blonde hair, Europe. I don't know. We'll see.
White hair is obviously the tsundere, so you're gonna love her.
We'll see. They all look fun, so we'll see.
Here she comes. There she is.
Again, A1 picture, so it's probably going to be on Funimation. We'll see.
She's so... See, that looks like a guy.
There's not going to be a guy.
She was messing with the side of somebody.
That's probably this girl's side, the blondie's side.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that's too much of a girl's side right there. There's no abs or anything. It's gotta be abs. So yeah, Sinyoku no Sigdrifa, or Warlords of Sigdrifa. Check that out if that's interesting to you, or like I said, if you're a fan of ReZero, it might be good to know that that's the same writer. So, moving on. Our next one. Muno na Nana, or Talentless Nana. It is a year 20XX. Don't even bother saying what year it is if you're not going to say what year it is. Earth has been assaulted by monsters known as the Enemy of Humanity, and Odin appears to give them wild grace. No, I'm joking.
I thought you were serious for a second. I was like, oh my gosh.
More Rockies. Monsters known as the Enemy of Humanity. In order to deal with this threat, special schools comprised of teenagers with extraordinary abilities was formed. These were these people who come to be known as the Talented. See, again, I like this. Very basic naming. Don't get it too complicated. Just call them the Talented. Have the ability.
Jeez.
I'm trying to read the synopsis and you're showing some random dude licking her leg.
I think that was a chick.
Trap.
Yeah. If you...
I don't know. It looks like a skirt. Probably is a chick. Just randomly pulls down her sock and starts licking her. Anyways, these people who became known as the Talented have ability to defy the rules of reality. Among these superpowered individuals was an outlier, someone who was sent to one of these schools despite having no innate power ability, special abilities whatsoever. This is the story of our protagonist, who attempts to defeat the enemies of humanity through the use of intelligence and manipulation. So is Bridge, who has done Devil Survivor 2, Nobunagan, did some of Fairy Tail, and Mitsudomone. The genres are drama, horror, psychological, supernatural, and thriller. And the source is a manga. Yeah. So pretty much Assassination Classroom meets... Assassination Classroom meets Supernatural Battles became commonplace, I guess. I don't know. I'm mixed on this one. I don't really like the style of it, but we'll see.
I don't hate it. It'll be something to... It'll be interesting to see what we get out of this show. It's, especially with the licking thighs.
Licking leg thing, yeah.
I don't know what to make of it.
That's going to be her power, is that her saliva heals things, yeah. And so she's licking her leg to heal the boo-boo. Just like Mama does, you know. yeah. Muno na Nana, or Talentless Nana. We'll see. So you think the magicless one's going to obviously be the green hair boy? No, or you think it's actually going to be the girl?
Pink hair.
You think that's going to be it?
Yeah, because it looks like everybody's helping her.
But, like, I guess it's going to be one of those things where she's just going to suddenly out of nowhere have some kind of genius that she brings up, says, hey, we should do it this way, and it's going to be perfect. And they go, okay, let's do that, and it turns out to be really amazing.
Yep.
Because she really has no... Well, besides there, she really had much personality, or she wasn't really outspoken looking.
She'll have an internal secret about ability. I mean, it could be green hair guy. I mean, he might be the one that has no power. I don't know.
Yeah, the problem in the PV, you don't really see
either of them
do anything special. Unless that was him doing a rewind. He's all purpley, so maybe not. You think that was him?
It seems to be focusing on the pink hair. Oh, was that green hair guy?
I think, unless that was one of those kind of, I'm really angry, and it's like a... animation aura, but he doesn't really have an aura. There's licking again. I should watch it just for the licking of the lick. Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming her name is Nana, and that would be make sense if she's a talentless one. Yeah, he's definitely using magic right there. Okay, so it's the girl. We've solved the mystery. It's the pink hair girl, and she's obviously probably Nana. So, yeah, there you go. Talentless Nana. Check that out if that sounds interesting to you. Moving on. We have Dragon Quest is getting another adaptation, because we definitely need more Dragon Quest stuff. Yeah, Dragon Quest Daiboken, or Dragon Quest Dai's Great Adventure 2020. Of course, this is something that has technically had an adaptation a while back, and this is a new adaptation of it. After the defeat of Demon Lord Haldar, all the monsters were unleashed from his evil will and moved to the island of Denomorin to live in peace. Dai is the only human living on the island, having been raised by kindly monster Brass. Dai's dream is to grow up and to become a hero. He gets to become one when Haldar is resurrected and the previous hero, Ivan, comes to train Dai to help him in battle. So Haldar announces that he is working for a more powerful demon lord, comes to kill Ivan. To save his students, Ivan uses a self-sacrificing spell to attack, but is unable to defeat Haldar. When it seems that Dai and Avan's other student, Pop, are doomed, a mark appears on Dai's forehead, and he suddenly gains superpowers and is able to fend off Haldar. The two students... Now, this is like literally half the show, isn't it? The two students then go off on a journey to avenge Avan and bring peace back to the world. It's being done by Toei Animation, who's done tons of stuff, including One Piece and Dragon Ball. The genres are action, adventure, fantasy, and the source is a manga. Oh, dear goodness.
He gets the Majin Buu mark.
Yes.
And then he becomes...
And he starts eating things. He has a sweet tooth at that point.
I don't know about that. But he definitely gets Majin powers.
He just starts hanging out with Satan-san.
Maybe. Well, he did technically go and train with him.
I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm really... I'm like a semi-fan of Dragon Quest stuff, and the story has never been the thing that's been drawing to me to any of it. So, I don't know. I'll probably check it out just for the, you know, the art style and everything like that involved with it, but we'll see. We'll see. You have any interest in it?
Mildly, but it's one of those just more of a Pokemon. I have never really dug too deep into any of the Dragon Quests. So as much as I've always wanted
Dragon Quest Builders,
yeah, Dragon Quest Builders, but that was, you know, super deep plot there. So yeah, it's more along the lines of it's always been in my periphery, but as far as actually digging into it, no, I have not, unfortunately.
No, I had a big aha moment. I totally see this being the Netflix show of the season. I'm calling it now. This is probably going to be the Netflix show of the season.
It's Toei.
Because I think Netflix got Toei's the CGI one, right?
No, Toei's got the YouTube channel now.
Yeah, but nobody's saying that they're using that yet. And I doubt they're only going to put it on YouTube. I don't know. We'll see. That's something that technically we should keep an eye out for now, is how many of this stuff's going to end up being exclusively on their YouTube channel. But I don't know. There's still the option that these companies will pay for exclusivity, and Funimation still has the money to do that. But like I said, I seem to remember that the Dragon Quest CGI one went to Netflix, but I could be wrong. We'll see. Again, Dragon Quest Dai no Daiboken, or Dragon Quest Dai's Great Adventure 2020. Check that out if, especially if you're a fan of the Dragon Quest series. I'm sure you'll probably have that on your radar. Next one we have is King's Raid Ishi wo Sugumomo Mono Tachi. The story is set in the world of swords and sorcery a century after King Kairu of Orvelia defeats the demon king Angumundo. The squire, Cassel, lives in these peaceful times. However, Cassel's destiny is set in motion when he hears of the demons reappearing on his island. Guided by a great wise man, Cassel embarks on an adventure with his companions to drive back the darkness threatening his once peaceful land and become the chosen warrior of the Holy Sword. Insert IAS song repeating. Studio OLM.
It's A-E-I-O-U.
A-E-I-O-U. Here you go. Holy Sword A-E-I-O-U. Studio is OLM and Sunrise Beyond. OLM has done a lot of Pokemon, the original Berserk, as well as Gunsmith Cats. Sunrise Beyond branch has done nothing but Gundam Build Divers, Re-Rise. So, these genres are action, adventure, fantasy, and the source is a mobile game. So, another fantastic mobile game adaptation that I'm sure will be deep and full of mystery that you can check out.
Well, I was almost excited about it until you mentioned mobile game. So, I'm mild now.
We'll see.
You tempered my expectations a lot with that investment.
I mean, but that's a good thing. I mean, every now and then a mobile game can have a good story, but not often.
I was sitting here watching. I was like, man, we got some really cool characters. You know, we got elves going, guys. Got elves going. And then Andrew says mobile game. I'm mild now.
Man, we got the next Record of Lotus Wars right here.
Yeah, Record of Lotus Wars. I was totally thinking that.
Yeah. We'll see. That's not always a death knell. It's just 99.99% of the time it's a death knell. But we'll see. We'll see. King's Raid. Ishii wo Sugumono Tachi. The PV does look good. It's good fantasy stuff in there. Just hopefully the mobile game has a good story to provide for fantasy and everything. Because, I mean, I love the character designs. It's got some good character designs in there.
And mobile games tend to have really good character designs. That's
gotcha.
One of the things that yanks people in, because they always end up sucked into those gachas.
Gotcha.
But yeah, the it's not necessarily a bad thing that it's a mobile game. It's just it's one of those marks that kind of hurts it in a lot of cases, because I don't think that there's a lot of people who have the same amount of love as the original author has for the stories. And they're just, I don't know.
Yeah. Agree. Moving forward, we have Taiso Samurai, or Gymnastic Samurai. The story is set in the year 2002 in the once powerful Japanese men's gymnastics team. Shotaro Arakaki, the former Japanese team member who devoted his life to gymnastics, is no longer able to compete to his expectations. Despite still training strenuously day after day, he is advised to retire by his coach, Amakusa. However, a certain encounter alters Aragaki's fate. That's it. Not gonna tell you. Probably a handsome man. Think we're going Yuri on Ice direction? No, I see the death of somebody. So maybe. Well, not... Didn't see the death of them, but you see in an altar. Studio MAPPA is working on this. Of course, they did Terror and Resonance, Kakaguri, Rage of Bahamut, Dorohedoro, and Zombieland Saga. This is going to be their second show of this season.
They did the Ice one too, didn't they?
Yuri on Ice, yeah. Technically, is a very fitting one to note for this one. The genres are sports, of course. The source is original. The series composition is being done by Shigeru Murakoshi, who did Zombieland Saga. There's a lot of posts talking about this show, saying this is a reuniting of all the people that worked on Zombieland Saga. All I could see was the director worked on two episodes of Zombieland Saga. It is technically MAPPA who did Zombieland Saga, and the series composition was done by Zombieland Saga writer, so I guess that technically fits the description. Yeah, I have a lot of hope for this show. I'm always looking out for originals. It looks like it's got some really awesome animation in there. Yeah, I do agree that technically of the faraway shots, they do utilize some CGI to hide a little bit there. We'll see if it's got a really good story to go with it. Some, you know, maybe underdog fighting, overcoming something. Obviously, something bad went off in his life, so we'll see. Your thoughts?
I did like a lot of what they did with Yuri on Ice. I generally love what MAPPA brings to the table. So I'm
except for that first show we talked about in this episode, because the finger.
Yeah, that
the finger.
I wiped it from my memory. it's one of those that, as far as the concept, I mean, it's a sport, so it's really going to rely heavily on whether or not it pulls off drama, or if it pulls off effectively a exciting action-y type feel. And this does not look like it's going for action, so it's gonna be probably weighted on its drama. And MAPPA does okay with drama.
That is a true point. I can't really think of really any MAPPA shows that are heavy drama. They're usually pretty heavy, either action mostly action is a lot of the stuff that we enjoy. I mean, Terror and Resonance maybe-ish, but most of it's just really action. You're on Ice, I could care less about the drama that was in this. That one, I think it was very melodramatic and over the top. Banana Fish wasn't really all that great, in my opinion. I guess there is Kids on the Slope, which has very high regard for that one. In This Corner of the World, technically, it was another solid one. So I don't know. I mean, that's a very good point to bring up, and not necessarily doesn't necessarily mean they can't do drama. It just requires a writer to do it properly. Not necessarily has anything to do with the studio itself, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm excited for it, though. It does look like it's going to be very, based off the PV, looks like it's very half and half. Looks like it's character driven, and half of it looks like it's a sport. So that's always the good balance, is balancing that aspect, because I could care less so much about the sport itself. It's more wanting to root for the characters themselves, and that usually requires strong character development. So Taisho Samurai, Gymnastic Samurai, check that one out if that one sounds interesting to you. Maisetsu is our next one. This one is the anime centered around four girls at the full bloom of their youth, working hard to achieve their dreams. They struggle valiantly. In Japanese entertainment, Maisetsu refers to introductory talk or explanation, addressing to the audience before the broadcaster of television programs, usually performed by assistant directors and particularly comedians in a variety of comedy shows. So I'm guessing that's going for the idea of the show, I guess. The studio is Studio Gokumi and Axis. Gokumi did Sore Zure Jiren, Kinrono Mosaic, Yuki Yuna as a Hero, and Indro. Axis did Ulysses John the Arc, and together they did Siren, Miss Vampire Who Lives in My Neighborhood, and Miss Kozomi Loves Ramen Noodles. The genres are comedy, slice of life. The source is the original creator of this particular series is Kagami Yoshimizu, who of course did Lucky Star. The director is Yu Nobuta, who did High School Fleet and Kuma Bear, or is doing Kuma Bear. The series composition is Toko Machida, who did Happy Sugar Life, Chaika the Coffin Princess, Lucky Star, and Show by Rock. So that's two projects that she'll be working on this season. But yeah, this one, what are you thinking, Chris?
So they are... For live broadcasts, they're the people who tell the audience whether or not they should clap or laugh or something like that?
They do introductory talks and explanations to the audience.
Huh.
I don't know that that is technically going to be what these characters are doing. I just know that that
I think it's
the synopsis
probably just
is explaining
more making,
what the name is.
I think it's more making fun of the. I don't know. I don't. I mean, obviously, they're it's going to be a comedy, so we're making fun of something. Yeah. So we're obviously. It seems like we're making fun of the what's going on in the show to the audience. I don't know. But hey, the characters look cute, and it could be fun.
It's gonna be a club centered around introducing shows.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Really, what I'm getting from it.
This is a really, really niche. I mean, beyond niche.
So these girls are gonna go around and introduce different shows, different stages. I mean, that is the. It could be tech. I mean, it's technically the subtitle is opening act. But I mean, it's definitely up the alleyway of the original creator Kagami Yoshimizu. Very skit-based comedy with Lucky Star, and I'm sure that'll probably be similar here. A lot of skit-based comedy and probably some introductions to stuff just to, I guess, follow the namesake. But we'll see. I'm always up for more of her work. She does fantastic comedy. I really enjoy Lucky Star, so I'm sure this one will probably be fun as well. But we'll see.
At the rate I'm going, I'm scraping for anything, and this is probably one of them.
You're scraping for shows to watch this next season.
Yeah, scraping for shows this season.
Maisetsu, check that one out if you're looking for a comedy, because I'm sure it'll probably be right up there. Moving on, our next title we have is Magatsu Machretz. Zwarsts. Sorry, my German sucks. Two young people living in the Waritz Empire are planning to relocate to the capital city. The shy Inumail, who works as a transporter and was once an important young, and was once an important younger sister. And Leo Kaido, a naive new soldier of the Empire who spent his days in the Imperial City thinking of his future as a soldier. In the Empire, countless human beings were once extinguished from the world. The return of the light, the disaster that summoned a ferocious monster into the world, is predicted, and the remaining human spirit are devastated. Meanwhile, the fate of Inumail, Licardo, and the history of the Empire will change drastically as the result of one weapon smuggling incident. Studio is Yokohama Animation Lab, who has really only done Lapis Relights and the fantastic Miru Tights. The genres are action fantasy, and the source is an MMO smartphone game. The director, scriptwriter, and series composition is being done by one person, which is Naoto Hosoda, who did Juni Taisen, Future Diary, and Shuffle. So that's probably the only thing slightly saving this one. But we shall see. We shall see.
What, the scriptwriter?
Yeah.
I don't know. This is... I'll be impressed if they can keep up the way it looks the entire show. That's hyper detailed and...
But you don't think that amazing artwork they did for Mirror Tights doesn't show they're able to do this?
Oh, I'm not saying that they can't do it. I'm saying that Mirror Tights is like a 5-minute show and you're talking 23 minutes each.
Yeah, I don't...
I mean, that is some really fantastic looking artwork. I'm sorry. It looks amazing to me.
Yeah, it again goes back to the whole thing of, remember, it's all in how much they want to put money-wise. If this is an MMORPG that they are wanting to be successful and they are making this to be a huge advertisement, they might be pulling a, you know, side games and just dumps a crap ton of money into it. But I do agree with you that the PV looks great. Now, the PV could have been something they dumped a bunch of money into for the mobile game, and now they're using that animation for the PV for the show. So, I don't know. We'll see. See? But yeah, as usual, mobile game, not very high expectation for the writing. So.
Yeah, we went on something similar to that with, what was it, Rage of Bahamut.
And yeah, that's a prime example of, Rage of Bahamut, Princess Reconnect, Redive. Those are two prime examples of fantastic animation work being done for, even that one, what was that one? It was like, I can't remember the name, but that was another one that was not really a great story, but was very well done in the animation department, and was one of the, and the music was fantastic too. I wish I can remember the name of that one. So it can happen. It can happen. So yeah, Magatsu Warit Zirst. I'm curious if that one will actually get somebody licensing it over here, but we'll see. Moving on, our last show of the new shows is D4DJ, First Mix. This anime is based off a mixed media project by D4, or mixed media project called D4DJ from Bushiroad. D4DJ is centered around DJs and works on remixing famous songs and create original songs, recently having a lot of success with the mobile games Bang Dream and Revue Starlight. The studio is Sanzigen, who did Arpeggio, Blue Steel, Babuki Bronki, and Bang Dream's second and third season. So they are mainly a CGI-focused animation studio. I will say they've done a really fantastic job at blending, you know, kind of making that animation style and work in 3D. The genres are music, of course, and again, the studio, or the source, is a mixed media project. I have no PV for this one or additional information. But we'll see. We'll see if that is anything worth the darn. All I'm assuming is this one's probably going to be my best guess, educated guess, is going to be this is probably going to be a Bang Dream-esque type of show that is going to show off their DJ artists and remixes that they can do originally rather than being remixes of or covers of other songs. So, but we'll see. Excited?
Sure.
Like I said, I mainly Babunky Bronky. Really love Babunky Bronky's animation style, even though it was CGI. But and I was okay with it in Bang Dream. It's just I think Bang Dream upset me more because it was such a diversion from the first season and didn't really care much for the story and the characters. But that's another.
We could still go back and see if you like Arpeggio.
It is one that I've been wanting to go back and see. Yeah, D4DJ, First Mix. Again, that was another one that I'm really curious if anybody will actually pick that one up. I can see Crunchyroll picking it up. All right, moving on to returning series. I'm not really going to go into huge detail on these ones just because most of them are kind of just returning with the same studios and same people working on it.
If you know what it is, you know if you want to watch it.
Yeah. We have Haikyuu To The Top 2, the second core of Haikyuu To The Top. So Haikyuu fans rejoice. We will continue to say that we want to go back and watch that, but we will never do that because we have no time.
Belle's getting an elf.
Yep, Dungeon ni Dai wo motomeru no wa machigataru daro ka 3? The third season of Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon?
Let me see the
Chris wants to watch the PV.
Because there's an elf.
This is another season of Danmachi. Apparently, with a new season comes a new girl that he has to rescue, and that seems to be the common thread throughout the entire series, is him finding another girl to go chase after.
Xenos girl is born in the dungeon.
Yep. So, go watch Belle make Hestia cry more and chase after girls. Next season of Mahouka Kyoukou no Retose Raiho-san Hin, or the second season of The Irregular at Magic High School. I kind of alluded to earlier, but this is the one that I've kind of gone back to see if I can finally finish it. I'm like episode 18, question mark? And we still got to watch the movie. But yeah, I'm kind of still in the same mood as I was the first time I watched it, where I'm absolutely sick of the sister, and I'm a little more accepting of the brother. Like, he's not as... his overpoweredness isn't as much of an annoyance to me this time, because I think I'm more into the actual logic figuring out of what he's doing to counter stuff. I think it's a little more interesting to me now.
If I remember right, the biggest draw that I had to that show was its magic system.
The music, magic system, animation are really good. But yeah, I can't stand the sister. She is such a one-note character. Every episode I'm like, stop saying I'm sorry.
You hate Emoto's too much.
No, I hate Emoto's that all they do is say, I'm sorry, brother, 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 I'm sorry, brother, brother, and freeze everything that moves every time he looks at any other girl. Those kind of sisters I hate.
I love every other sister character in every other show.
This is the only one I hate.
Comes with the territory of having an overpowered Emoto. It's just part of the game. I mean, if you have one, that's what you're going to have to deal with, Andy.
No.
Just get over it.
Literally, it's only the show. Literally only the show.
Okay. Then go ahead and hate on the Emotos. It's fine.
It's literally only the show. Literally only this one. So yeah, hopefully at some point, either she dies or she has some kind of character growth that happens, but I am doing that. Hopefully, I'm pretty sure I'll probably have that done by the end of this month when the next season comes out. So yeah, The Irregular at Magic High coming back.
Maybe he shouldn't be looking at other girls.
Golden Kamuy season 3 is coming out. I don't know. I don't know if I'll watch this again. I pushed through season 2. Every now and then it does something really cool. That's Golden Kamuy. I'm not a fan of its comedy, and literally half the show, or half of Golden Kamuy is comedy. And it just doesn't work for me. And that's really where I have problems with it. So, and CGI bears. I got a kick out of it. One of the HoloLive English character new debuts that happened today, one of them said they love Golden Kamuy, and they're like, you just got to get past the CGI bears. And I'm like, I totally forgot about the CGI bear. Thanks for reminding me, because I have to talk about it this episode I'm recording today. We'll skip that one.
Can't wait. Can't wait. It's going to happen. We're going to be loving it.
Gochumon Gawa Usagi Desuka. Bloom, or of course, Is the Order of Rabbit. Bloom is coming out this next season, and we're stupid. I said stupor, which is perfect because I was going to say stupid. We're super excited about it. So hopefully they do the whole rock, paper, scissor thing again at the last of the episode.
Maybe.
That was a lot of fun, because we used to post on Twitter to see if anybody won or not. So yeah. The new sequel series to Inuyasha is coming out, so if you are... you know, a big fan of Inuyasha, definitely check that out. I still have to figure out how far I even got in Inuyasha, if I want to watch that or not. But
that's not going to happen.
That's huge. So definitely check that out. No, I'm saying I don't remember how far I got. If I'm close enough to the end, I might watch it and then go watch that. But we'll see. A new season of A3, Season Autumn and Winter. Or A3, I guess a new season of A3. This one's Season Autumn Winter. I don't know. So check that out if you're a fan of A3. Strike Witch is coming back. Strike Witch is Dai 501 Togo Sinto Kokudan Road to Berlin. Road to Berlin. So, yeah. I'm excited for Strike Witches to hopefully drag me back out of the pit that stupid short put me in. That just ruined everything. Be excited for half of Twitter to be excited about every episode of Osamatsu-san. That one's coming back. So Osamatsu-san season 3. Have no care, but I'm sure plenty of people do. Suki Uta, the animation, is having a second season, so check that out if you are a fan of Suki Uta. Cool stuff. And our shorts for the season. Yay! One Room's coming back.
Yep. I think it's Imoto's season this time.
What do you mean?
She's going to have a couple of episodes this season. I think I seen her in one of the things that I was looking at. That's a 2017 PV.
They always have new characters every season. The only returning one's always the main girl.
No, the last season was the main girl was coming back. And the one that I looked at some point was showing the Imoto as one of the main characters. So I'm assuming they're cycling through the first season's first three. So you're going to get one from the first season and then two new girls. That's how they did it last season anyway.
Yeah, last season they had the main girl come back again, and they had three new girls?
No, two new girls. The first girl, and then two new girls, was in the second season.
But then she's here again in the middle, and two new girls.
That's Imoto.
I don't think that's the same
girl. This is 2017 PB. I just told you that.
It literally says 2020 down there. They're just saying, here's all the other seasons. One Room in 2017... Here's One Room of 2018, and this is 2020. I'm not crazy. Stop it, Chris. I'm not crazy. I don't know. What was the... See, the problem is that the little sister of the first season has, like, the most darkest story that Andrew crafted for her. It's that she was visiting her brother's home after he died.
Yeah, she even has the... Twin tails and everything. That's what I was...
Yes, it could be. Like I said, it just... Eye color's a little different. I mean, that would be a little bummer, because then it means they only have one new character. Oh, no, there's two more right there. Okay. So the main girl, her, and then three new ones? Because I don't think she... I'm almost positive. Is she a returner?
I'm almost positive all three of those are the same ones.
Is she the magician?
There's orange hair right there. I think she's probably in the second season.
Yeah, it's her right there. I think that's just an old trailer. Because I know they've have to have revealed the new ones already. I guess technically they're right here. Blondie, redhead. And then there's the three old ones. So yeah, only two new ones. As usual. Well, that was interesting. Side tangent. But yeah, One Room is really just a personal favorite of ours. That really is little to say that it's going to be a fantastic show or anything. It's just a unique, interesting storytelling method that they chose to make. And we really love the artist. The character designer did Hineko, which we really love his art style. So just a personal favorite of ours. And the last one we have is Rail Romanesque. This one is a story set in the game's fictional southern Hinomoto city of Ohitoyoshi after a successful revitalization thanks to Hachiroku's tourism promotion. The city is now planning to host a first Maitetsu festival to bring together rail lords and the respective masters from all the Hinomoto, inspired by the humans. Planning for the festival, the famed Suzushiro and other rail lords are also hosting a rail lord summit at the railroad station cafe Amairo to share their collective wisdoms. So this one's based off of a visual novel. It's supposed to be a sequel to the visual novel. So if you've read the visual novel for Rail Romanesque, I'm sure you probably know about this one. But just keep that in mind. I'm kind of mixed. I'm probably going to check with some people to see if it's something that you can just jump right into or if it's something you really do need to check out the visual novel first for. I do really think it's cute. Looks like Arpeggio, but with railroad girls. Train girls. So
yeah, that's pretty much the thing that has me interested. And I think that the characters are absolutely adorable. Kind of love the concept of... I've always kind of liked the idea of the the humanoid things, machines, whatever you want to call
it. Personify it as roles.
So I've always loved it, and I just I love the concept of little trains. So we'll see how that works out.
Yep. And the only show continuing from summer 2020 is Fire Force Season 2, so be excited for more of that. And about all we have left is to look a little bit into the ONAs, movies, OVAs that are coming out next season, which I don't think was really much. I know Eden is a big one. I wasn't really excited for Eden, which is supposed to be premiering in next season on Netflix. So definitely looking forward to that. The Monster Strike movie, Them Become Human, is apparently coming out. I don't know if that's supposed to be a movie or just an OVA. I haven't actually seen anything on it. I did drop Them technically, but I did want to like it. Grisaia Phantom Trigger, the animation, Stargazer, is coming out November 27th in Japan. Kimi wa Kanata is apparently coming out. Jose to Tora to Sakana Tachi, which we've talked about on the discussional podcast before, that apparently is coming out in December 25th, so way late.
Obviously, that's going to be the best show of the season. Day-Day Bullet,
Nightmare Queen. That was because they were doing a movie first, right? Oh, they've already done a... When did they do the first part?
Mm-hmm.
That's right, they're doing movies, weren't they? I think they're doing movies. Of course, the movie for Kimetsu no Yaiba is coming out October 16th, so the Infinity Train arc. Burn the Witches apparently is coming out. I have no clue what that is. It's like a Crunchyroll thing. Burn the Witches. I think I've actually seen things on this.
I think we talked about it once.
And the first movie for the Camelot arc for Fate's Grand Order is coming out December 5th, so... Yep. Bunch of exciting stuff. So, Chris. Not the returning shows, but what is... I guess to ask first, what do you think is going to be the gem of the season?
I haven't the slightest clue. Not much of anything was jumping out at me this time. But a lot of it seems to be high action and crazy stuff. I mean, maybe the Bears... But see, I
Mugatsu War, it's gonna be it. No, I guess the only one that really is jumping out at me is possibly being a gem, and that's mainly because I haven't really heard anybody talk about it, and I had to discover the fact that it was ReZero creator. It's hard for us to say what's a gem because it's really hard to really distinguish what is under people's radars besides what is in our circle of communication. And for me, I haven't really seen anybody talk about Warlords of Sagradrifa. I was probably saying that wrong. But I do know that I have some trust in the ReZero's creator. So I'm kind of hoping that will be the one that jumps out. Again, based on the PV, I don't really have any expectations for it whatsoever. But there's a hope for it. I don't know. I guess for our top five supers excited fours, I guess Higurashi doesn't count because it's a returning, even though it's a new. Over the Moon, definitely. I'm excited for The Day I Became a God. Fruit Tart. Warlords of Sagrifa. Taiso Samurai. Maisetsu. So I got six.
Yeah, I would have six if I counted in the Fruit Tarts.
If I had to drop one, I'd probably be on Fruit Tarts.
I've got Sleepy Princess, Journey of Elena, Over the Moon, Kuma 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 Bear, and Grace of Gods. So Grace of Gods and Fruit Tart would probably be my interchangeable. Both of those would, because I... the Grace of Gods is so, I'm not sure on it. It looks like it could have, it might be a little weak, but at the same time, it was being done during that time. So we'll see if we think that it's already done. There is a lot of shows that do look interesting this season. It's just,
I have a lot of shows, so I don't know where you're getting all that from.
It's more along the lines of there's so many shows that I'm unsure of. It's like I really want to watch Higurashi. Not sure if I'm going to be able to watch all the way through. Definitely not into Jujutsu, whatever that is. So yeah, you go down the list and it's a lot of high action shows that I'm just not really feeling right now.
I guess if I had to take it down to five, it's Samurai Taiso or Gymnastic Samurai, Maitsetsu, Warlords of Sengirfer. I'm just going to call it something new when that show comes out. The Day I Became a God and Over the Moon is probably my five. But yeah, Higurashi, even Adachi to Shimamura looks like a Yuri show that can be really good.
That one looks like it's possibly would be the one that's right up my alley, but I don't know that it's going to be more drama. It looks more like it's going to be comedy, which I'm not real sure on.
It looks like a romance slice of life school shoujo eye to me, but
well, no,
I don't know where you get comedy on that one.
Because of a stupid random thing that popped out of nowhere. That didn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense why it would be there.
My hope there is that's going to be the dream world and it's going to be very brief. I agree. That's the only thing that's really kind of throwing it off. It seems like it's that, I don't know, some weird quirk of the writer, which
I mean, it looks like it could be great. I wholeheartedly am looking forward to it. It's just that looks really out of place. And I don't know if that's going to make it into not a drama and more of a joke type show. We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, like I said, the fact that it doesn't have a comedy as one of its things definitely leads it more to the idea that it's probably just in her head. But yeah, Adachi no to Shimamura definitely looks great. And yeah, I didn't have Journey of Elena, which I think is going to be great as well. Probably another Kino's Journey S type of show, which will be great.
I'm going to toss
Ikeboko to West Gate Park. I'm having some pretty good hopes for Shaft doing another Magical Girl is always fantastic. The Million Lives, which I'm hoping will be good. I mean, there's a lot of shows this season. I don't even know what I'm going to do.
I'm gonna hesitantly toss out Elena as the gem.
I don't know. I wanna hope for that, but at the same time, I don't. I don't have any names behind it that gives me any hope.
It's the only one that seems like it could possibly do something really, really interesting, and I don't. It sounds like a solid coming of age, just fun loving show. It's the one show that just sounds unique. All of them are doing something different. This one sounds unique.
It's probably the least unique of the entire season, in my opinion. But I'll give you that. I guess I want it to be a solid Kino's Journey S type of show. But like I said, unfortunately, my only fear is that there's not really anybody behind this that gives me a lot of hope for it. I guess is my struggle. Not to say it can't be good. It's just that's my only hesitation that I have is the lack of anybody behind it. But I mean, if I'm not picking the ReZero creators show, Warlords of Sengirfer, that would probably be a solid pick right there is Kino's Witch. Elena's Journey, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, there's not really isn't. I can't think of any other ones that would be possibles. I mean, I always want to give it to things like Moriarty, the Patriot, but I don't think it's probably just going to be another kind of very slow burn.
Pretty Boys.
I don't know that it's really going to be a Pretty Boy show. I mean, that is an aspect in it. But I don't think that's really what they're going for. It's talentless, Nana. It's going to sweep us all off our feet. Yeah, that's fall.
Watch the D4D.
That is fall 2020 anime season. Yeah, hope you guys enjoyed this run through of the season. Definitely let us know what you're excited for. What do you think is going to be the gem of the season? Don't say Danmachi is going to be the gem of the season. We already know what Danmachi is going to be. It's got to be a new show coming up. But yeah, definitely let us know what you're excited for. And again, we're at otakuspirit.com. That's where you can go for all of our anime, new and old, great community, the forum, link stop, social media links on the right side, and all that good stuff. And we hope you all enjoyed, and you all take care.
Peace.